So instead of me just standing up here and talking to you about all the things that I want to teach you about this month. Thanks, Micah. We are going to hear from you guys. So each week we're going to have two people come up and answer some questions and tell us about their personal experience with certain things. Now, these things are not just any things. We are learning about how to be the united family of God. And we're doing this by looking at Romans 12. And in Romans 12, we have pulled out 10 different values, 10 different attributes that are things that we can use to be a good member of the family of God. If we can treat each other with these values in mind, then that's going to promote unity within the church. Okay, so last week we learned about joy and hope, and it was awesome. This week, we have two other people that are coming up that are going to tell us a little bit about extravagant hospitality and unfailing love. So I want to get us started by reading 1 Peter 4, 8 through 9. It says, above all, love each other deeply, because love covers over a multitude of sins. Offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. Love and hospitality work together. So we're going to kind of explore that just a little bit. The scripture in Romans that we pulled this out of is Romans 12:10. Be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves. So with that being said, Courtney. All right. Now we've got Courtney Bolsold up here. You can have a seat. We're going to do this informal style. Now, just to give you a little bit of insight as to why I rooked Courtney into doing this. Me and Courtney have been friends for 10 years, something like that. We kind of go back a ways. And the first time, I remember clearly the first time that I met Courtney. And she may not, but she was moving into a new apartment, and I got dragged along by someone else to help carry boxes. And by the end of it, that's the first time that I met her. And by the end of it, she was sending things home with me. I think she gave me a sweater. But the thing that really stood out to me is books. I love books. And she loaned me an entire book series because I said, oh, this looks really cool. And she's like, here, take it. And I was surprised because I was like, she doesn't know me. And I'm like really possessive of my books. Like, I don't loan them out real easy, so that means a lot to me when someone loans me a book. So I was like, man, she doesn't know me. She doesn't know if I'm going to bring it back or anything like that. But it was just so natural for her to just give. So that being said, what does extravagant hospitality mean to you?
Okay, so I feel like extravagant hospitality is this big, two big long words. So by dictionary, it would be like over the top service, right? So you're talking about going above and beyond. But I feel like it can be simplified so much easier than that, to just loving God and loving people. Because if you're loving God and you're loving people, you should be serving others and you should be showing God's love to those around you. I don't know that I remember that, but, you know, to me it's like, I think sometimes I just do things like that without even thinking about it, but I think if we are showing God's love to those around us, the other stuff just kind of falls into place. We do things like that without even thinking about it, because we love those people around us and we want to be able to serve them and meet those needs, not necessarily, you know, extravagant needs or great needs, but hey, they might be interested in that and want to read that and, oh, I can do that. That's something that I can do. It doesn't have to be something crazy. It doesn't have to be something mountain moving. It can be as simple as lending a book to a friend because they're interested in the same things that you are.
All right. So it's not hard, right? It's not hard, right? Like, you just be open with people. Yeah, that sounds super easy.
Theoretically.
In theory. Okay, so I want you to tell us, how have you experienced extravagant hospitality in your life?
Okay, so for me, I've thought about this a lot because I have a couple of different examples because I grew up going to church and seeing this modeled out in a lot of different ways, but then I also worked customer service in college, and you guys know how things can be in customer service. It can be one way or it can be another when you're working with people. But I think the most concrete way that I feel like I can describe this is with my kids. For those of you who don't know me, I teach third grade, and I have 21 8 and 9-year-olds. And I'm probably going to get emotional because I don't have children of my own, so these are my children. I don't know what happens to them between 3 o'clock in the afternoon and 8 o'clock the next morning. So the one thing that I do know is how they are treated from 8 o'clock in the morning till 3 o'clock in the afternoon. So that is the consistent. And so for me, I have control over that. And for me, that's what hospitality is. That's what loving God and loving people is having control over how you treat people and how you make people feel. And that's what people are going to remember of you and the experience that they have with you. You have control over that, and that is the impact that God has placed upon you with how you treat people. I have 21, 8, and 9-year-olds that know that when they see me in the morning, I'm the first person they're going to see before they walk in my classroom with a good morning, how was your evening, or let's have a good day today. I have control over that, and that's the expectation that they have every morning when they come in. And so I set the tone for their day, and that's the expectation that I put on myself because I don't know what their life is like before they see me, and I don't know what it's like when they leave me. So if nothing else, I do know that when they are with me, I can have that kind of impact on them with me. And if that's the only positive impact, if that's the only God that they see, that is what I want them to be able to see and what I want them to be able to take home with them at the end of the day.
That's good. So have you experienced any extravagant hospitality? I'm popping extra crisps on you here. But is there a time in your life that you can remember that somebody was extravagantly hospitable to you and that made some kind of impact on you or maybe helped encourage you to be hospitable to others?
Oh, gosh. I see. I mean, to me, it's not like, to me, it's small things. I don't feel like it has to be anything crazy. For me, I think it's probably the position that I'm in is probably the craziest God story that I can even think of. I worked for a really long time to get in the position that I'm in, and a lady that barely knew me took a step of faith and suggested to someone that didn't have a clue who I was that I would be a good person for a position that she had. And so, you know, and she had met me once, maybe, I think. And so just by her taking that step of faith, like she, and I've told her now, she fulfilled a huge dream that I've had for a long time. Just to be a teacher and to be able to impact students' lives and to be able to work with small children. That was a huge deal for me. And I cry thinking about it, but I cried because I worked for probably 6 or 7 years trying to find a job after I graduated college and was about to give up. and it doesn't work that way for everybody. That was just how things happened to play out in my situation. And then I interviewed for that spot because she went out on a limb and put my name in the hat. And 45 minutes after my interview, I got offered a job that I'd been praying for and hoping for 6 years. That's probably the best example that I can come up with because it just was the most out of nowhere you know, act of kindness that someone who had met me one time just had that kind of faith in me, I guess, and took a chance and took a step out and said, I'll back you and I'll support you.
So kind of what it sounds like to me is that sometimes when you do something hospitable for someone, you may not even remember it because the impact wasn't on you, it was on them. So
exactly.
Like, you don't remember loaning me a book. I remember you loaning me a book because it made an impact on me. And your friend now that put herself out there for you, that may not have been a big step for her, but it was huge for you.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, I'm getting to do what I've always wanted to do, and she just might have made an offhanded comment one day about, oh, you've got a spot. This girl might be good for that.
So you never know what hospitality will do for somebody, right?
This is true. I mean, you know, just being encouraging and lifting people up, and, you know, it doesn't take much.
That's awesome. All right. One last question.
Sure.
How can we show extravagant hospitality to each other as the family of God?
I think that goes back to it not having to be. I think extravagant implies huge mountain moving acts. It doesn't have to be like that. You know, it can be as simple as sending a text to somebody and asking them how their day is. That takes 2 seconds, you know, to type out a text to somebody and send it. But it can mean the world to somebody if they're having a bad day and they just need somebody to talk to. And it's so impactful when someone is having a bad day, just to have somebody to talk to and reach out to and to confide in. Just being there for people is a huge thing, I think.
Okay. Is there anything else you'd like to add? Okay. All right. Thank you. All right, now, Courtney wouldn't say this, but she is one of the most hospitable people that I know. I've seen her serve so many people when she knew she was getting nothing back in return. It's just her heart. It's part of who she is. And I believe that that's part of who she is because she experiences God's love every day in her life. Because love is what makes hospitality possible. What's the purest form of love? God. God. God is love. So with that being said, we're going to move into unfailing love. Andrea? All right, take a deep breath. Okay. All right, so one thing that I wanted to say is that love and hospitality, they do work together, right? And we've seen this. There's a scripture in Hebrews 12, 1 through 2 that says, keep on loving one another as brothers and sisters. Do not forget to show hospitality to strangers, for by doing so, some have shown hospitality to angels without knowing it. So loving others, loving your friends, loving your family, loving strangers, being hospitable to one another, it's unfailing, right? Okay, so what does unfailing love mean to you?
So when I think about unfailing love, it's like so easy to think about a love that never fails. But when we think about us, like we're humans, we tend to fail. And so it was like kind of hard to like find a concept that will describe who we are and how we love. So I think about unfailing love not as a feeling. I think we have failed about describing what love is. And it's just like a feeling and it feels good, you know. But I think love, it's a lifestyle. It's what you do and how you are around others.
Okay, how have you experienced unfailing love in your life?
I think that love is something that goes both ways. So when I think about myself, I think God is like my foundation, and he's like the source of my love. And I remember when I came here for like the first time, when I like moved to college, I was like by myself. Like I had nobody. Like I left my family, my life, my culture, like everything, and I was like by myself. So what I had left, God. And I was, God, it's just you and me. So let's go. And having him was like all I had in that moment, but he showed me through people and through situations that even though he's the source of my love, it's not going to be just me and him having a relationship, which of course it is, but he's going to show me his love through others. So at the beginning, I remember that I was looking, or I was like trying to find that love in him. And so I will like pray and read the Bible, and I will kind of like create a barrier with people because I was like, it's just me and God. And I was like kind of selfish with that. But then I realized that God would use others to love me and to show me that I was loved. And as I was saying, it's not a feeling. It's like, it's acts. It's what you do. It's who you are. And another thing, as I said, it's both ways. So it's how people, it's how we love each other. So I can think about my family. So my mom and dad. And they have showed me unconditional love. Like, you know, as a kid or like teenagers or even now, we do things. And if mom and dad can get mad at us, or they can get angry or disappointed. But I remember one thing my mom told me, and it's that when you ask your kids, like, how much do you love me from 1 to 10, you know? And my mom will say, I love you a 9. And I always got mad at her because I was like, why do you love me a 9? Just say that you love me a 10. And she's like, no, I have to save that 1. And I was like, why? Well, you're a human. You're going to fail. You're going to say things to me that you don't mean, or you're going to do things that you don't actually want to do it, but you are going to do it. So I'm going to save that 1 just in case I get mad. But my nine will be stronger. So I love you a 9. And then she told me, go out there, and in your mind, you love people, but in your mind, think that you have to love them a 9 just in case they do something to you, but you have to think that your nine is stronger. So yeah, she loves me a 9, and that's awesome. I still want the 10, but I understand where she's coming from, because my sister and I, we've done things, and my mom, she has like a strong character, so if we do something, she will like come at us and be like, hey, this is how things should be done, and that's why I love you a 9. My dad, on the other side, he will be mad at me for 10 seconds, and then he'll be like, okay, give me a hug, like, it's all good. And for me, that's unfailing love. That's the love I've been surrounded by. It's a love that it fails, but it never fails, if that makes sense. So, yes.
That's good. Okay, so how can we show unfailing love to each other as the family of God?
I feel like there are so many ways that we can show love to others. Because if it's a lifestyle, it's everything you do throughout your day, from the time you like open your eyes by the time you go to bed. I remember there is a part in the Bible, don't ask me where or what it says, but it says that you can do everything, like you can do whatever you want. You can be like the president, you can be the best doctor, you can be whatever you want, but if you don't do things out of love, it's like you did nothing. So every single thing that you do, like the good morning you say to the person at the cafeteria, or when you walk to class and you say, hey, to the professor, hey, how are you? Just being intentional to that. And that's actually like my word for like the year. I remember me and Vicky, we like picked a word for the year, and mine was intentional. And it was like just being intentional with everything you do. And I think that's love. Just being around people and try to just do your best. And I was having a conversation with one of my friends, and I told that person, this year I'm going to be intentional. And that means that I'm going to be the happiest student. I'm going to be the happiest worker when I'm at work. And I'm going to be just the happiest person, because everything I will do, I'll do it out of love. So it's everything you do. So if you are eating a meal with someone, if you do it out of love, I think that's an act of unfailing love. If you're riding with someone and they are taking you to Walmart, for example, just having that nice conversation and not feel that it's like a burden. Yeah, that word. To be around people and just be intentional in everything you do throughout your day. And I think that's love, at least for me.
All right, one more question. Is God's love for us unfailing?
So, that question for me, like, it threw me off at the beginning, because I was like, why are you asking me that? Like, I mean, the answer is, like, pretty obvious. But then I remembered that I kind of struggled with it. So let me tell you a story. So it's been hard. It's been so hard for me to let others love me and serve me, because it, for me, it seems like it's very selfish. Like, I don't want people to, like, spend time on me or, like, spend money on me or, like, just invest, because it seems like it's so selfish. But then I was thinking, well, I do it for people. I love loving people and serving others, even if I don't know them. I love that. And I remember when I was a kid, I used to pray to God, and I was like, God, I want you to use me to, like, serve others and love others and just be a blessing to others. And then it just hit me this week. Sorry. She's been, like, telling me that for, like, the past 2 years, but it made click this week. And it's that if I am being a blessing to others when I love and when I serve and when I'm out there, and I don't let people do that to me, like, back, I'm kind of, like, stopping that blessing. So I'm not letting God using them to bless me. And that's even more selfish than I thought. So if I just let others love me and serve me and kind of not feel bad about it, it's because God is using them to show me who he is and to, like, for them to be a blessing to me and for me to be blessed and to feel loved. So it's not something that God is just going to make me feel like I feel loved today because God said so. It's because God is showing me through others. So, yeah.
I have one more question.
Oh, that was not on the script. Okay. Go for it.
1 through 10. How much does God love you?
He loves me a 10. He really does.
I'll let you go now. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
So if God loves us a 10, God, that's good. If God loves us a 10, there's no space for his love to be withheld from us, right? So is there anything that we can do to separate us from the love of God? Romans 5:6-8 says, you see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. The ungodly. He didn't die for those that were already believing in him. He didn't die for the righteous. He didn't die for the perfect Jewish man that had followed all of the laws his entire life. Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous person. Though for a good person, someone might possibly dare to die. But God, he demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And you skip ahead just a little bit in Romans in chapter 8, and it says, for I am convinced, this is Paul speaking, this is a man speaking who crucified others. And he said, "For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, nor the future nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will ever be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord." That sounds like unfailing love to me. That sounds like he loves us all a 10. Not because we've earned it, not because we're good enough or we're holy enough or we're righteous enough, but because he loves us no matter where we are. But we can't abuse that. It's easy to hear that kind of thing and think, well, that's a free card. I can do whatever I want. It's a get-out-of-jail-free card. I can be whoever I want to be. I can live however I want to live. Because God's always going to love me a 10. But he loves us so much that he will not allow us to stay where we are. As you learn to accept God's love directly and through others, then you will naturally be pulled toward another lifestyle. It will be taking off the old humanity and putting on the new. That's what it is to accept God's love in your life.